Praise the Lord. Well, if you could take your Bibles now, I hope you've got your Bible right there. And now's a great time. I know a lot of people working from home, you're spending a lot of time on screens. So maybe walk over to the bookshelf, grab an old-fashioned leather-bound Bible, paperback Bible, whatever you've got, grab it. Get away from the screen. Watch the screen, of course, but get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We had a great time in communion on Friday night. We want to say thank you to Bishop and Sister Downs for hosting us in their home virtually for that beautiful time of communion. It was great to see people from all around Australia joining us. We had up to almost 100 people there in communion, and we praise God for that. Luke chapter 15 and verses 16, and we're going to read down to verse 24. Luke chapter 15, verse 16. You've got it there. Let's read. This is the account that we know as the prodigal son, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine or the pigs did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when, I want you to notice this, but when he was afar off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, no, go and bring forth the best robe. Go and bring it. Bring the best robe and put it on my son, and put a ring on his hand, and put shoes on his feet, and go and get the fatted calf, go and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The second portion of scripture we're going to read in your hearing today is Romans 3, verse 22 and 23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. On this Father's Day 2021, I want to minister on this title, the running father. The running father. Lord, as we open your word today, we need you to speak to us, speak to every heart, speak into every life. Lord, let those that have wandered be restored again. Let their hearts be soft to receive your word. Let it go in, let it perform its work. Let us be changed from the inside out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 15 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible, and maybe later on today in your personal devotion, you'd like to take some time to read it, because here in Luke 15, Jesus gives us three earthly stories to teach us a heavenly story. First of all, you read about the lost sheep, the one out of 100 that went missing, and the shepherd went to find it. Many would say it's only 1 in 100. Who cares? But Jesus told that story of the lost sheep. Then we read about the lost coin. One woman had 10 and she lost one. Turned her house upside down to find the one coin. But in our account today, we read about the lost son. A man had 2 sons. It's a little bit different because this son wasn't lost by accident or ignorance. But this son chose to leave home. And so Jesus told these stories. Why? Because the Pharisees were murmuring. They were saying to Jesus, they said, this man Jesus, he he receives sinners and he eats with sinners. And so Jesus told them three parables to explain to them why he was reaching out to those that they thought were morally suspect. He was reaching out to those that they thought he shouldn't reach out to. In God's sight, I want to tell somebody today, while we are all sinners and while we all fall short, Jesus told this account to the Pharisees. He said, these people, although they are lost, although they have wandered away, they are of great worth. And I want to tell somebody today that although you may have wandered away from God, although your heart might not be where it needs to be in God today, maybe you have turned your back and you're in a state of rebellion today, I want to tell you that you are of worth to God and that he loves you so much that there is no coincidence that you sit here today listening to this message and God is reaching out to you today. The third parable differs somewhat to the first and the second. The first one is the one about the lost sheep and then the lost coin. But the third parable is a little different because we don't see a search for the son. He had to make up his own mind because why? He chose to leave. Sheep are not known for being smart. In their ignorance, they are lost. The coin was lost by accident, but that son, that prodigal, he left. The background of the account that we've read is that, and I better go into that, I didn't have enough time to read the whole account, but a man had two sons. The younger son comes to his father and he says, I want my inheritance. Before his father had even passed away, he comes and he's demanding his inheritance. In fact, it was such a slap in his face to dad, because he was saying to his dad, I wish you were dead already. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to speak to children today of all ages. And I'm going to give you a little bit of wisdom right now. Maybe mom and dad will pass an inheritance to you one day, but you have no right even talking about it until mom and dad want to talk about it. I hear terrible stories of children supposing and assuming that they are going to get inheritance and broaching the subject with their parents. Yes, you may be blessed to have an inheritance one day from your parents, but you have no place talking about it with them until they are ready to talk about it with you. And you know, in this day and age, there may not be much left when mom and dad have finished their retirement. Let them enjoy it. Don't let them feel the pressure. But this young man, he went to his dad. He was effectively slapping his dad in the face and saying, I want my inheritance now. Give me, verse 12, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And shockingly, the father, he succumbed. And the Bible says he divided the goods. And the young man took the money. The Bible says he went into a far country. He went as far away as he could. And sadly, he blew it. Now we could point the finger at that young man. Maybe some of us can relate, maybe some of us can't. Maybe some of us can say that that's exactly a picture of where we were. We walked away from God, but now you've got a testimony today. You backslid from God, you walked away from the Father's house, you made mistakes, you blew it all. You came to a place where you had no more hope. But maybe your testimony is, I was like that Jewish boy. I came to myself and I made the journey back to Jesus. I want to tell you today is a message for every single one of us. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all that have fallen short, because Romans 3 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I want to tell you, you can make your way back today. He is as close as the mention of his name. I tell you, once you take one step towards him, he will take two steps towards you, because we've got a loving God who loves us. He will not see us. He will leave the 99 and go for the one. He'll turn the house upside down to find one coin. But I tell you today, if you've left God, you got to make your way back and you will find a running father. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, we've all sinned, but the original Greek verse 23 indicates it doesn't just mean past tense. For we have all sinned, like looking in the back and saying, once upon a time, I sinned. But Romans 3:23, and the Greek word here is, it indicates an ongoing action. In other words, it's not just past tense, but it's present tense. We keep sinning and we keep falling short. Yes, we have all sinned. Yes, we all fall short. Yes, doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. Doesn't matter how righteous you think you are. You may look down your nose at somebody else, but we all fall short. Listen to me carefully. That doesn't mean that everybody has sinned in an equal manner, but sin is sin, and we all miss the mark. It was Billy Cole, great preacher, told a story. He said, if we were out in the boat 50 kilometers from the shore, you and I, just imagine you and I, we're out in a boat 50 kilometers from the shore, and we decided when we're out there that what we're going to do is we're going to jump in the water, we're going to swim to the shore. Now, the deal is, you could swim 40 kilometers, I could swim 10 kilometers, that's my max, but the shore is 50 kilometers. And so we both jump in the water and we started swimming the best we could. We started swimming and we started out on the journey, and after 10 kilometers, I was tanked. Couldn't do it anymore, couldn't stroke another stroke, and I began to call out for help. I began to sink. But there you were, you know, the one who can swim 40 kilometers. You're still stroking, you're still going strong, you're making your way to the shore. And you may be able to look back, and you might be able to look back and say to me, well, Pastor, I can swim 40. You can only swim 10. And for 30 kilometers after I stopped, you'd still be going, and you could talk about me. You could look down your nose at me and say, well, Pastor, you're sinking because you're not strong enough. You should have gone to more classes. You should have gone to the gym and worked out. You should have eaten more carefully. You should have trained harder. But here's the truth. Yeah, you're able to swim 30 kilometers further than me, but you're going to reach your max, and you're going to collapse, and you're going to make it 40 kilometers from the boat. I only made it 10 kilometers from the boat, but we both fell short of the shore. We both fell short. Yes, you may have swum 40 kilometers, but you're the same type of dead as me because we both fall short. You see, when it comes to the shore, what am I talking about? We're all striving to live a life that is perfect and a life that is holy, but we all miss the mark and we all fall short. Yes, some people may be able to swim 10 kilometers from the boat. Some may be able to swim 40, but we all fall short of the glory of God. And so, church, I told you that story because we must be careful that arrogance doesn't creep in. When we begin to compare ourselves to others and our weaknesses with other people's weaknesses, and we say, well, I'm not as bad as them. I tell you, how dare you, because you fell short as well. Yeah, you, good on you for making your 40 kilometers, but you're the same type of dead as somebody who only made it 10, because we all fall short. We're all going to drown. This is it. We're all going to drown unless somebody comes and saves us where we are. I'm going to say that again. We're all going to drown unless somebody comes and saves us where we are. And men, it's Father's Day today. And I know, and we tend to celebrate mothers. And Father's Day, sadly, can be a little bit awkward. Dads fall short. Maybe that's why Father's Day can be so awkward for some people. I'm going to go off on a little tangent right now because I feel in my spirit to share with you this day. I know that Father's Day can be awkward, and it's true. Fathers and dads, We all fall short, but I got something that's going to help every marriage, that's going to help every family. I want to tell you today, being a dad and leading a home is not easy. I know being a mom is hard. I totally acknowledge that. I recognize that. But being a man is not a joke. Being the man that God called us to be is not a joke. And I give honor and I celebrate the men in our church that walk that tough road to be the leader in their home. It is no joke to be a man and to lead your home. And I'm going to be bold because everybody loves Mother's Day. Why is it that Father's Day can be so awkward for many? It's because men, like women, but men fall short. You look at the retail, they'll tell you that they make heaps more money from Mother's Day than they do Father's Day. Ask the companies that make the cards. They'll tell you that they sell more Mother's Day cards than Father's Day cards. Everybody knows where Dad falls short. I'm not talking about their sin. And of course, we all sin, but we fall short in responsibilities. We fall short in the expectations that are on us. Men, I'm a dad. I'm a man. We fall short. And I know God has called us to lead from the front. We've got to get at the helm of that ship and take the wheel and lead our family where we need to go. The pressures are there to pay the mortgage. Oh, you want to go on a holiday as well? Okay. Oh, we need to save up for retirement. Yeah, I'll do that as well. And we got to go to work. We got to perform and meet the targets of work. And we come home and we want to be a good father. We want to be a good husband. And oh, yes, I want to come and play with the kids. And oh, that's right, I better go and clean the yard. And so men and women, church today, it's hard for a man to be up the front driving and to be down the back of the ship with the family as well. We all want to be in both places, but it's no joke being a man. If we are always there in the back of the ship with the family, then who's going to be driving at the front of the ship to make sure we get where we need to go and the bills get paid? If we're always driving, though, then we're not always going to be present. The balance is hard, men, and that's why we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to trust in God. And often men fall short. Often men, we fail so many times. But brothers, my precious brothers of Calvary Chapel, I want to tell you that we have a God who is a perfect Father. We have a God who we can pray to, and He can give us wisdom that we can find the balance. You see, the other thing about being a dad, and I'm taking time to talk about dads today. You know, we're not looking for sympathy, we're just looking for understanding. Add on top of that, for men, and I've experienced this in my short lifetime, but society keeps changing the game. They keep changing the game of what a good man is. Once upon a time, if you were a good provider, you were a good man. Didn't matter if you didn't talk. Didn't matter if you just grunted. Didn't matter if you just sat in a chair all night, read the newspaper. If you provided for your family, you were a good man. I was taught as a young boy to open up a door for the women. Now, that's a bad thing. In fact, I was told once at Woden Plaza, when I opened the door for a woman, that I was being condescending. You see, the game keeps changing. I'll leave that one there. But I tell you, we've got to go to God, men. We want to be the best dads, the best husbands, the best fathers we can, the best men of God. We've got to go for God for wisdom. And then with men, there's this thing called testosterone. I'm not going to give you a biological lesson today, but there's lots of things we could say about testosterone. It's two things. It's a blessing and a curse. But testosterone is what makes men feel driven. It's what makes men aggressive. It's what makes men want to win and be competitive. And we have this drive to achieve. We want to get to the front of the ship and we want to lead our family to the destination. And here's the thing. Anytime a man doesn't feel like he's winning, it's hard for him to continue to do something that he doesn't think he does well. That's it. We are driven to achieve. We are driven to be at the front and lead. We want to be successful. And anytime we feel like we're failing, it's hard for us to continue to do something that we don't think we do well. And so the more you tell a man that he's not doing well, you're going to push him away. Men aren't drawn to criticism. In fact, the Bible says that men and women are created in the image of God. Just like women, men are drawn to praise. We were created in the image of God. Women are drawn to praise. And here's the thing. Men do best when we are told the things that we do well. When we are told the things that we do well. And when you say that, it means a lot to a man. I hope you're hearing me today. It's not often I get to preach like this on Father's Day. Often we're telling men, oh man, you got to do this. You got to be better at this. But I'm just trying to explain a little bit about what makes men tick today. We do best when we are told that we're doing well. Okay, try this. Ladies, try this. Mothers, try this. Pull up in the driveway. You got a carload of groceries, so you honk the horn, beep, beep, and that's signal for your husband to come out, and he's going to help you carry the shopping in. We like to do that. The man comes out, he grabs two bags, he walks back into the house with those two bags, and as you walk past him, you say to him, say, you're amazing. You're so strong. Look at those muscles. I'm so thankful. You're so generous. Thank you for coming. You're so strong. Let me tell you, when you praise him, he's going to become better. Because you watch. He'll walk out and say, don't worry, doll. Leave it to me. He'll walk out and grab six bags and carry them into the house. He wants to show you. You see, men flourish. Men flourish when you compliment them. Tell them what they do well. Tell your husband what he does well. We flourish in the same way that your sons flourish. We like to achieve. We like to be at the front. We like to be successful. We're driven. But the truth of the matter is, we all fall short. And we're all so mindful of all of our shortcomings. Men fall short. Christian men fall short. Even Bible men fall short. Jacob fell short. Adam fell short, Moses fell short, David fell short, Gideon fell short, Abraham fell short, Noah fell short, Samson fell short, and yes, this prodigal son fell short in a terrible way. His behavior was disrespectful, wasteful, arrogant, selfish. He was an embarrassment. He was despicable. He was a shame. He fell short. In Luke 15, verse 14, it says this, that he reached a point and he said, and when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine and he began to be in want. I want you to notice that last word of Luke 15. He began to be in want. We know what he needed. He needed to go back to the Father's house. But he knew what he wanted. And I believe with all my heart that he needed to go back to the Father's house, but this young man still hadn't reached the bottom of the barrel yet. He wanted his lifestyle back. He wanted to be able to keep doing what he was doing, the women and the cars and the money and all of that stuff. Let me tell you what want will get you. You may want something, but I want to tell you what you need today. You need to get back to the Father's house. You need to get back there because this is what want will get you. This is what want will get you, those selfish fleshly desires. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country and they sent him into the fields to feed swine. You see, when you're in the foreign land, when you're in a far country, you'll always find somebody there. They may offer you a house. They may take you in. They may agree with you and comfort you. They may even sin with you. They may offer you a house, but it's not the Father's house. And so when you're in a strange land, don't go looking for someone to come and hear you and let you know that you're doing all right and agree with you. Let me tell you, when you're in a far country, you need to hear the truth. And I'm here as a pastor today with everything that I can to preach the truth to you. Where does this man go? A Jewish boy, he was in want. He wanted his lifestyle back and he chased it, but he ends up feeding pigs. What is it about pigs, Pastor? Well, a Jewish boy feeding pigs, that's about as far low as you can go. He fell short, yes. He fell far, yes. He missed the mark. Verse 16, it said, and he would fain. Look up the meaning of that word fain. He would gladly, willingly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. That's a picture of what the world looks like. You see, no man gave him. He was working. He was doing his best. Yeah, we try to impress our friends. We try to impress our colleagues and all that. But let me tell you, they're going to give you nothing for your labor. They will up and leave you when things get hard. But I want to tell you that we've got a God who loves us. We've got a God who we can run to. We've got a God who is faithful, who sticks closer than a brother. That's what sin will do to you. Fain got him. What do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? Fain got him. What used to be off limits is now uncontrollable. It's what was unthinkable now looks good. He's looking at the pig food and he's ready to eat it. That's exactly what happens in this world. I believe that if that young man would have eaten the pig food, he would have stayed in the pigsty. Why? Because pig food's nice? No. But it would have satisfied his belly. Just for a little while. And that's what alcoholism is. We look at alcoholics and say it's no life. We look at drug addiction and we say it's no life. But they're saying, yeah, it's great. It satisfies. Yes, it satisfies for a season, but won't satisfy you forever. There is an abundant life in Christ Jesus. Young people, let me save you some heartache today. Maybe mom and dad have dragged you to the lounge today to watch this service. Let me save you some heartache. This world will not satisfy you. Yes, the prodigal son could only swim 10 kilometers. Yes, oh, you can look at the story and say, well, I can swim 40, but we all fall short. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Here we see a misunderstanding about the father. The greatest misunderstanding you can have in life is a misunderstanding about the father. And look at the way he begins to form the words in his misunderstanding. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father and I'll say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. Yes, that's true. But here's where the misunderstanding comes in. And a lot of Christians who are backslidden have this misunderstanding. I'm here to expose it today. And I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That is the greatest misunderstanding. Yes, God hates our sin, but he doesn't hate us. No, God doesn't minimize our sin. The Bible says he will not clear the guilty. However, he has a heart that overflows with compassion. He has a heart that overflows with mercy and grace. And so here's this young boy. He finally comes to himself and he begins to talk to himself. Let me tell you, the greatest messages and sermons you're ever going to hear are the messages you preach to yourself. What does he say? What's the message? Let's read his notes. I will arise. Come on, self, get up and go. Get back. He said, I'll go to my father. I will repent. I have sinned and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The greatest message you will hear is the message that you preach to yourself. Yep. Self, get up. If you're backslidden today, if you're away from God today, if you're not in the right place with God, begin to preach to yourself. Come on, self, time to get up. It's time to go back to the Father's house. It's time to get back on my knees and repent before God. It's time for a change. I'm going back to Jesus. Today, on this Father's Day, I'm preaching about the running father. You see, the misunderstanding that crept into this prodigal's mind was that he was no longer worthy to be called a son, that he was an outcast. The devil wants you to think that God has written you off, but I tell you, that's the greatest misunderstanding. The devil wants you to think that it's too late. That's the greatest misunderstanding. The devil would have you think that you can never be restored and I'm coming to a close. That's what the devil would want you to think. That's the result that Satan is after, that he would plant in your mind. The greatest misunderstanding. Yes, that misunderstanding will hinder and it will ultimately break your relationship with God. Yes, we all fall short. Listen to me carefully. We all fall short, but we all have a running Father. We all have a running Father. I want you to think about that again. Yes, we all fall short, but we all have a running Father. Whether you fall short 10 kilometers from the boat or whether you fall short 40 kilometers from the boat, we all fall short of the glory of God. We go to Luke chapter 15, verse 21. This prodigal begins to recite his speech, begins to think about what he's going to say. He's thinking, Dad's going to be mad. I've fallen down. I'm going to go. I'm going to fall down at his feet. I'm going to beg Dad. I'm going to tell him, Dad, I'm just happy to be called your servant. I know I can't be restored back to where I was before. I'm just happy to be called your servant. I can't be your son again. Dad, I made too many mistakes. Dad, I've wrecked it all. Dad, I've messed it all up. Dad, I've shamed you. Yes, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You know what? He recites that speech, but he never gets to use it. He's interrupted. Why? As he walks down that road, he's walking down that road. He's recited his speech, how he's unworthy. He's recited his speech, how much he shamed his dad. He's walking down that road and he's thinking about what he's going to say and how much shame he's going to fall down. He's going to stoop on the ground. He recites the speech, but he never gets to use it. Why? Because he's interrupted by a running Father. Maybe you've recited your speech today. You know all the reasons why you can't be restored. I want to tell you this message today is interrupting you because you're going to meet the running Father. For God so loved the world. This son, he came back with his tail between his legs. He is stooped. He was hesitant. He had shame written all over his face. He had a message. He was ready to recite all the reasons why he couldn't be a son again, only to be met by a running Father. In verse 20, it says this, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, Dad was standing there. I believe every day he would have looked down that road. Oh, I wonder if today's my son's coming back. And I tell you today, God is waiting. He's waiting. He's left the 99 to come and find the one. There he is. When he was yet afar off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. And he ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I want to tell you, when you start to make your way back to God, you'll find that you've got a running Father. On this Father's Day, I'm preaching about how, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father is a running Father. Yes, repentance is so important. And that's what that boy did. Came to himself, turned around. It's a change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. Something that happened on the inside in that boy changed the actions and sent him down the road again to his father's house. I want you to notice that it took a long time for him to go from a son to be begging and feeding swine. It took a long time to go that direction. But it took him no time to go from a servant back to a son. It took him no time to be restored. You see, he goes back and he gets the best robe. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Go and put the ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet. And go and kill the fatted calf, the one we've been fattening up. Go and kill it. Let us eat. Let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. You see, it took no time for him to go from lost to being found again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You see, they took that robe. I love it. I love this account, this picture of restoration. I want to tell somebody today that God's got a robe for you today, the robe of righteousness. Yeah, I gave him my old tattered garments, but he gave me a robe of pure white. No, you don't come with your own robes of righteousness. No, there he has, filthy rags. But when you come back, he'll clothe you in righteousness again. If you repent of your sin, he'll clothe you in righteousness again. The robe is there to restore the dignity. It was important in that time because the robe restored the dignity of that boy in front of the community. I'm here to preach to somebody today. Maybe you've left the Father's house. I want to tell you, there's a running Father. There is reconciliation. There is restoration for you today. It's time to come home. Whoever you are today, maybe this lockdown has found you wandering, getting back to things you should never been involved in. You've gone back to your past again, gone back to feeding swine. The unthinkable has now become uncontrollable. I want to tell you, you can make your way back because you've got a running Father. Begin to take some steps down that road. Begin to take some steps down that path of repentance, and you will find a running Father. You see, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you take that robe and you take that name. Don't think that you are despised and unknown. Let me tell you, God, you may be sitting in your house all by yourself. You may be sitting in your car just watching this service on a live stream. You may be sitting in your car watching an archive message. Maybe somebody sent this to you. Don't think that in your sin you are despised. Don't think that you are unknown. Don't think that you are forgotten. I tell you, we've got a Father that's keeping watch. He'll leave the 99 and come to the one. Oh, I thank God we've got a running Father. You ought to thank him right now. Maybe you've been embarrassed to say something watching a live stream, but just say, thank you, Jesus. Although we were sinners, Christ died for us. We got a running Father. We get to the end of this whole account. I want you to notice something. That Jesus stops right at the climax of the story, and Jesus walks away from those Pharisees and the scribes, and he never really finishes the story. I thought to myself, because I hate it when the story's not finished. Why doesn't he finish it? Well, it's not because he couldn't think of an ending, no. It's because the ending hasn't been written yet. Those words are there written for you and I. The ending has not been written yet. It's because all those that were listening to Jesus that day, when he stopped right at the climax, all those that have been listening would have to decide what their ending will be. Those Pharisees and scribes, yeah, all looking so good, but they all fell short. Oh yeah, 45 kilometer swimmers. That prodigal might have been a 10 kilometer swimmer, but they all fell short. And we all have to write the end of the story ourselves. Today, church, today, loved one, today, friend, today, whoever you are, you got to make that decision. How does the story end? Because I know if you'll start to take steps down that path again, you'll find a running Father. I know that if you start making your way back, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I tell you, there's a robe waiting for you. There's a ring, there's shoes for your feet. I tell you, you'll find a running Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, ultimately today is all about you. And I pray that somebody will come to themselves, that somebody will hear these words today, not just hear them, but to preach them to themselves. And Lord God, they'll begin to make their way back down that path. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love today. We thank you that you're a good Father. It's who you are. Love is not something that you just do. It's who you are today. In Jesus' name.
Oh, reach out to God right now, church.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Lift your hands in your home right now. I'm talking about a running father today.